Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 117. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, which wert and art and evermore shalt be. Hymn number 117. The scriptural this morning will be given by Carolyn from Canada.
Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And it was so. And God said, "Let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night." And it was so. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Acts and 1 Peter. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, or silver, or stone, graven by art and man's device. Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven, and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father, who art in heaven, our Father, Mother God, all harmonious,
hallowed be thy name,
adorable one,
thy kingdom come,
thy kingdom is come, thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 237. Oh, may we be still and seek him, seek with consecration whole, listening thus to hear the message far from sense and hid in soul. Hymn number 237. Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin our Sundays here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson, other subjects that need to be covered, and learn how to practice better in our lives Christian Science. And we had another really good one this morning, so if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com, and you can also find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 a.m., and that Sunday school is available to children anywhere in the world, just about, via telephone. Our Sunday school has its own dedicated teleconference number, and many of our students who don't live in the area call in and attend our Sunday school via telephone. That means that if you don't live in the area, but have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend. Just call the church on the church phone number, and we'll give you the number for the Sunday school, and our Sunday school teachers will be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. I might also point out that there is a link on our website for a website designed strictly for children. And one of the things on that website is the plan for this week's Sunday school lesson. And it also has a lot of other really good things that children need to learn about the Bible and about science and health. It's a great website for children, and they can log on to it any day of the week, 24 hours a day. You don't have to wait until Sunday. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives made much better through the study and practice of Christian Science. And for all of our meetings and services, we do have a nursery available for infants and children. So if you do show up in person, you can bring the whole family. I mentioned we have a website. We actually have 20 websites in 20 different languages. This is our missionary work. We provide the very finest of Christian Science literature for people around the world. And many people outside the United States have found one or more of our websites and have found the healing power of Christian Science in many cases in their own language. And for this, we are very grateful. And everything that's available on our websites is free of charge. We charge nothing. Freely we have received, and freely we give. I'd like to point out one of the articles that's currently featured on our English language website, entitled Happiness and Love, by Bicknell Young. Very good article, and I recommend it highly. Everyone is welcome here, and that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing that attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given by Izzy from England.
Deaf ears unstopped. As a mother of a family, my heart goes out in love and gratitude to that good woman we are privileged to call our leader for all she has done through her book for me and mine. 10 years ago, I was healed of hereditary deafness and catarrh of the head simply through reading the book, Science and Health. For years previous, I had consulted and taken treatment from some of the best specialists for the ear and throat, both in England and America, but grew worse all the time. I was then urged by a lady who had been healed through Christian Science to buy this book and study it. I did so very reluctantly, but had not read 50 pages before I felt I had indeed found the truth which makes free, and can truly say, from that time I have never had a return of the ailment. That for which I am, however, most grateful is the daily help it is to me in my household of young children. I am sure if mothers only knew what Christian Science truly means, they would give all they possess to know it. We have seen croup, measles, fever, and various other children's complaints, so-called, disappear like dew before the morning sun through the application of Christian Science, the understanding of God as ever-present and omnipotent. It has been proven to me without a doubt that God is a very present help in trouble. And what a blessed help this wonderful truth is in the training of our children, and how quickly the child grasps it. Some time ago, my little girl, then 3 years old, dislocated her shoulder. I was alone in the house at the time. The pain was so intense that she became faint. I treated her the best I knew how, but kept holding the thought that just as soon as someone came, I would run for help. She seemed to grow worse and cried very much. I undressed her and tried to twist the arm into place, but when it caused such suffering that I began to get afraid. Then, like a flash, came the thought, what would you do if you were out of the reach of a practitioner? Now is your time to prove God's power and presence. With these thoughts came such a sense of calm and trustfulness that I lost all fear. I asked the child if I should read to her. She said, yes, Mama, read the truth book. I began reading aloud to her from Science and Health. In about half an hour, I noticed she tried to lift the arm, but screamed and became very pale. I continued to read aloud, and again she made an effort to put some candy into her mouth. This time I noticed with joy that she almost reached her mouth before she felt the pain. I kept reading aloud to her until my sister and two boys came in, when she jumped off her bed, so delighted to see her brothers, she forgot her arm. She then began to tell her aunt that she had broken her arm and Mama treated it with the truth book. When this happened, it was about 10:30 a.m., and by 3 p.m. she was playing outdoors as though nothing had ever happened. Mrs. M.G., Winnipeg, Manitoba.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational, spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 24 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: is the universe, including man, evolved by atomic force? The golden text is from Psalms. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The responsive reading is from Psalms. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms.
For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods.
In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also.
The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land.
O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. I will read from the Bible. Psalms. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Judges. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Then Jerubbaal, who was Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them. So the people took victuals in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. So Gideon and the 300 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittah in Zererath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah, unto Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, Rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Job. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace. Romans. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Florence from Georgia will now read.
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. God creates and governs the universe, including man. The universe is filled with spiritual ideas, which he evolves, and they are obedient to the mind that makes them. God pours the riches of his love into the understanding and affections, giving us strength according to our day. Divine love blesses its own ideas and causes them to multiply, to manifest his power. Man is not made to till the soil. His birthright is dominion, not subjection. He is Lord of the belief in earth and heaven, himself subordinate alone to his Maker. This is the science of being. Moral and spiritual might belong to Spirit, who holds the wind in his fist. And this teaching accords with science and harmony. In science, you can have no power opposed to God, and the physical senses must give up their false testimony. Your influence for good depends upon the weight you throw into the right scale. The good you do and embody gives you the only power obtainable. Evil is not power. It is a mockery of strength, which ere long betrays its weakness and falls never to rise. In divine science, where prayers are mental, all may avail themselves of God as a very present help in trouble. Love is impartial and universal in its adaptation and bestowal. It is the open fount which cries, O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Matter cannot change the eternal fact that man exists because God exists. Nothing is new to the infinite mind. In science, mind neither produces matter nor does matter produce mind. No mortal mind has the might or right or wisdom to create or to destroy. All is under the control of the one mind, even God. The material so-called gases and forces are counterfeits of the spiritual forces of divine mind, whose potency is truth, whose attraction is love, whose adhesion and cohesion are life perpetuating the eternal fact of being. Physical science, so-called, is human knowledge, a law of mortal mind, a blind belief, a Samson shorn of his strength. When this human belief lacks organizations to support it, its foundations are gone. Having neither moral might, spiritual basis, nor holy principle of its own, this belief mistakes its effect for cause and seeks to find life and intelligence in matter, thus limiting life and holding fast to discord and death. The universe, like man,
is to be interpreted by science from its divine principle, God, and then it can be understood. But when explained on the basis of physical sense and represented as subject to growth, maturity, and decay, the universe, like man, is and must continue to be an enigma. Adhesion, cohesion, and attraction are properties of mind. They belong to divine principle and support the equipoise of that thought force which launched the earth in its orbit and said to the proud wave, "Thus far and no farther." Spirit is the life, substance, and continuity of all things. We tread on forces, withdraw them, and creation must collapse. Human knowledge calls them forces of matter, but divine science declares that they belong wholly to divine mind, are inherent in this mind, and so restores them to their rightful home and classification. The true theory of the universe, including man, is not in material history, but in spiritual development. Inspired thought relinquishes a material, sensual, and mortal theory of the universe and adopts the spiritual and immortal. Love will finally mark the hour of harmony, and spiritualization will follow, for love is spirit. Before error is wholly destroyed, there will be interruptions of the general material routine. Earth will become dreary and desolate, but summer and winter, seed time and harvest, though in changed forms, will continue into the end, until the final spiritualization of all things. The darkest hour precedes the dawn. This material world is even now becoming the arena for conflicting forces. On one side, there will be discord and dismay. On the other side, there will be science and peace. The breaking up of material beliefs may seem to be famine and pestilence, want and woe, sin, sickness, and death, which assume new faces until their nothingness appears. These disturbances will continue until the end of era, when all discord will be swallowed up in spiritual truth. As this consummation draws nearer, he who has shaped his course in accordance with divine science will endure to the end. As material knowledge diminishes and spiritual understanding increases, real objects will be apprehended mentally instead of materially. During this final conflict, wicked minds will endeavor to find means by which to accomplish more evil. But those who discern Christian science will hold crime in check. They will aid in the ejection of error. They will maintain law and order and cheerfully await the certainty of ultimate perfection. The substance, life, intelligence, truth, and love, which constitute deity, are reflected by his creation. And when we subordinate the false testimony of the corporeal senses to the facts of science, we shall see this true likeness and reflection everywhere.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 30. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. Brood o'er us with thy sheltering wing, 'neath which our spirits blend like brother birds that soar and sing and on the same branch bend. The arrow that doth wound the dove darts not from those who watch and love. Hymn number 30. Let's now sing hymn number 58. Father, we thy loving children lift our hearts in joy today, knowing well that thou wilt keep us ever in thy blessed way. Thou art love, and thou art wisdom. Thou art life, and thou art all. In thy spirit, living, moving, we shall neither faint nor fall. Hymn number 58.
I will read from the Christian Science textbook, the scientific statement of being and the correlative passages from 1 John 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter, or its infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is real and eternal. Matter is unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. Behold, woman of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because he knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Romans. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.